This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, one and all. Harmontown is now in session. Oh, yeah. I have a very good feeling about this one. My name is Jeff Davis, your comptroller. Yeah. But more to the point, let's welcome out the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, you're a lively crowd. I feel obligated to reciprocate your energy. I don't want to act how I feel. You're so. How do you feel?
In contrast to their jubilance.
Lugubrious, lethargic, laconic. I feel like Dan Harmon, but you guys feel like you're like Joey from Friends. You're like a golden doodle. You want to just fetch the rope in the front yard.
I think you just called them stupid twice.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Okay. That's
adorable, but stupid.
I'm convinced that no. I didn't mean that. You're filled with a life that only a god could embody. I don't know. I'm not gonna let him like. Maybe you are stupid. It doesn't matter. Maybe stupid is what you're supposed to be. Maybe being smart isn't a good idea. What does being smart mean? That's knowing more about how we're gonna die? Isn't that what we've all found out as we've gotten smarter? Like, don't we just figure out more and more about how we're dying? Didn't dumb people at the beginning of human civilization, when the life expectancy was 25, didn't everybody think they were going to live forever? Isn't that why they did so much dumb shit? Because they thought that gods walked among them and they thought it was okay to abuse each other and themselves? Because they thought that even though they only lived to 30 before they got eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, that they were destined for greater things and that they never really died? Like, and didn't we slowly uncover the fact that we were actually only going to live for a certain amount of time and then evaporate into the cosmos? And didn't, as we uncovered those stones, didn't we figure out ways to keep us alive a little bit longer, ironically? Like, oh, also, if you take vitamin C, you won't get scurvy. So we slowly extended the lifespan of an intelligent species to around 80, and we spend those 80 years knowing that life means nothing, jack shit. We evolved from a species of puppy dogs, you know? We used to just be these weird toga-wearing, like murderers. We just run around in the dirt alleys just going like, Zeus says I can stick a dick in this tree.
Just a bunch of toga-wearing Matt LeBlancs running around.
Yeah. That's the best character on Friends, right, Joey? That's the guy you want to be. That was the Troy in Community terms, like the kind of like, just a dog, you know. He's like he loves. He's innocent and sort of looks at things in terms of vertically. Salt must be better than pepper, or vice versa. There is no salt and pepper. That's what I always said about the Troy character. I said, this is a guy who you have to imagine. Like, don't judge any of these characters, but the character of Troy knows that there's 26 letters in the alphabet, and he knows which letter is more awesome than which. He doesn't look at it like just a line. He has, and it's not A through Z. It's like it's all jumbled up. Like he thinks that C is more awesome because it's like shaped like in a more awesome way, and then but D's above it. What am I talking about? Sorry. Your energy. Let me reward your energy. What do I got to do?
I'll tell you what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't do what you did to the green room. I came into the green room, ladies and gentlemen, moments ago, and could smell Dan's shit from outside the green room door. And I came in there, and it was heavy.
I made a boo-boo.
And you weren't there. I came in, Dan wasn't there, and I assumed Dan got here, took a shit, and then quit Harmontown. Because if I had taken the shit that he took, I would have quit Harmontown. And so would you have.
Like, while I was doing it, I actually looked up and looked around for vents and stuff. Have you ever done that? That's like, you have to be 40 or above to like, but while you're taking a crap, like actually start inspecting the infrastructure. I bet this is going to be a problem. I think I'm pooping in someone's garage. I think I'm going to ruin the party. Yeah, it's bad back there. The green room is not.
Do you feel
green.
Better now? Are you all right?
I feel great. I feel emotionally bereft and gastrointestinally clear. Anyways, don't do that. Come on. I'm a bad person. I took stinky shits. Nobody here has ever taken a stinky shit and bummed anybody out, right? No, you're all angels. You're all wonderful millennial angels. You believe in civic service. You vote for politicians. You believe in causes. You have Facebook causes. You're gonna make everything great with your comments and your comment sections. You're not Generation X. You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're wonderful people. You don't understand why Instagram would have ads. Shame on them. You made Instagram with your Instagrams. Where are these ads going to come out? Well, I'm not going to Instagram anymore. I'm a millennial. I hate the millennials, Jeff. I don't even know if they're millennials or not. I hate whoever's younger than me.
I'm a little embarrassed to even admit that I don't know what a millennial is.
I guess it's just whatever's after, you know, baby boomer, Generation X, millennial. That's what it is. Above the baby boomers, it's grandma and grandpa, the, you know, Guadalcanal, the greatest generation. The people that actually did shit and are now dead. Like, because they did shit. And if they're left alive, they're going like, so the Japanese are good now? And I'm supposed to care why? And we're like, Grandpa. Rob Reiner was like, Maha. And those are baby boomers. Rob Reiner on All in the Family, Sally Struthers, those are the baby boomers. Now Generation X is 40, me. I'm one of the younger Generation Xers, you two. Yeah. Like we're actually the Generation X, depending on who you ask, Douglas Copeland, whoever, you know, that generation. You don't pinpoint this stuff. It's not like everyone gets together like an Ender's Game and has some brood. But, you know, you go by these sort of sine waves, and I don't want to buy into this shit any more than anyone else. However, I do feel like when I listen to today's 13-year-old talk, I do hear my mom. And I do think that these star children, these fucking, like, these new babies that are coming up, I do think they're full of shit. I think that they love, like, unity. I think they love, they don't have that, like, I feel like baby boomers were, like, sort of typified by, oh, we landed on the moon, we Woodstocked, we sock hopped, we Billy Joeled, we did everything.
Hey, Billy Joeled!
We started.
Dan, don't include Billy Joel with Woodstock in the space program.
All right, you're right. He did not start the fire. I listened to that song today. It was like,
you had to be a big shot.
Remember that song? Where it was like, we didn't start the fire. And there's that part where it's like, children of Thalidomide. Ow! Ow! Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me that there's a song where you follow the phrase children of thalidomide with like a hot sizzling guitar riff. Anyways, where was I?
I don't know.
Baby boomers with the thing. And we're the David Cross generation. We keep our flannel tight. We keep our hands in our pockets. We don't look. We were like, fuck you, fuck everything, fuck everything that has a gimmick, fuck it all. That's not culture either, but we had one thing. We perfected one thing. Integrity. How dare you scoff at that? I heard a full-blown, like...
That was
like,
a...
Yeah, that was Adam Goldberg. A full-blown rap... No, fuck you. Yeah, integrity.
Are you talking about Mr. Integrity, Adam Goldberg?
Yeah, I like the idea, like that's all you have going for you if you sit in the corner of the room and go like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck it. At least you may be part of the problem. You may not be a hero ever in your life, but at least you know who you are, and you know what you ain't doing, and you're not playing into any like larger hand. And I think that because now those people are having children. And are kind of going, I don't know, what do you want to do? And these 13-year-olds have these like little texters in their hands, and they're kind of like, they're so excited about this idea that we can all be one, and we can all unite, and we can all recycle, and we can all refreeze the polar ice caps. But the general like result is that they're just intolerable fucking cocks.
Wait, 13-year-olds?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I'm the first. I want to be the Ben Franklin of hating 13-year-olds. I'm telling you, we've got 6 years left to kick their asses. They're gonna be driving soon.
What was the last encounter you had with a 13-year-old?
Yeah, Dino's kid. She's a. I don't know. Okay. All right. It's only what I read online. I don't know. It's comment sections mainly. Oh, yeah. I just assume all those people are 12.
I assume everyone online is 12, but they're all 40, just like us.
But what about sexy 12?
42.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, fine. You caught me. I don't know anything I'm talking about. That's a millennial way of thinking right there.
No, I used to play...
Everybody's math gets checked.
The only online...
In Generation X, you used to be able to just say shit and get away with it.
Yeah, but
just shit on an American flag and like throw it out the window. No one.
But you're saying that Generation X had integrity?
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't do anything.
That's right. That's why we had integrity.
No. We as you said, and I.
Here's some things we didn't do. Watergate.
We didn't do
we
that.
We wouldn't do it.
No. We did allow our country to go to war several times, and we kept our flannel tight and our hands in our pockets.
Yeah, but we said it was lame.
A really flaccid, ineffectual generation, I would say. No,
yeah, yeah.
No great art. Also, let's put a fine point on it. The 90s, would that be Generation X's music, maybe?
Yeah.
The worst music.
But it had integrity.
Right now. No, it didn't, because right now, if you turn on satellite Sirius XM radio and you turn on the 90 station, a shitty song is playing.
Jeff.
And that is a fucking guarantee.
Jeff, would a shitty generation have the self-awareness and self-effacement to have a pocket full of its own kryptonite? That's something that millennials won't do. All they want to do is bring sexy back. And bringing sexy back, I got a pocket full of kryptonite. It's deep. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And when I don't want to talk about something, we don't talk about it because I'm Generation X. And you millennials can go fuck yourselves because you're 13 and you're 25 and I don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't have to. Because I'm 40.
Dan, I think what you're trying to say is you want them to get off your lawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You work hard in that lawn every weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
You're out there with your lawnmower and your mulch. And
yeah, I earned it.
Your lawn has integrity.
Yeah.
And these millennials are stomping all over it.
Yeah. Stop stomping on my lawn with your comments section.
And their frisbees and their hula hoops and their whatnot.
Who cares if Instagram's going to have ads? What did you ever do for Instagram, you fucks?
Wait, Dan.
I was disgusted, America. I was disgusted. Instagram said, we're going to have ads now. I was disgusted by your response, you guys.
It sounds like
you should be ashamed of yourself.
Dan, it sounds like you're the one disgusted by ads on Instagram.
No, I'm not. I'm just doing Instagram because I want people to look at my dog when my dog sometimes is cute when he's sleeping. Instagram's where I know that 12,000 people will look at it. I don't care if it says Nike above it or it doesn't. If it does, tough titties for me. I guess it's hard to run Instagram. I'm Generation X. I know what's up. It's hard to make an Instagram. You guys were born into it.
You know it's going to be lame.
It was Insta for you.
It's already lame to say you're 40 and Gen X. That's already lame.
Hey, baby boomers came up with that name.
Did they?
We just didn't reinvent it. We called Generation Y Generation Y. Generation Y, like baby boomers, went, I prefer millennials.
Is that true?
Sure, yes.
No, it's...
Well, I don't know. What's true? I don't know. Generation X is called Generation X because the baby boomer said, you're like Generation X. And we went, I don't care. And then the next generation came along and they went, name me. And we went, I don't know, why? And they were like, no, star babies. We want a Trivial Pursuit edition. Because we have an identity.
What would the what would the trivia categories be on the pie of Generation Y or millennials?
Conscientiousness, words that hurt. Fairies, different fairies.
Probably something about vampires and werewolves.
Yeah. Bloodthirsty monsters that don't have fangs anymore. All right, what are we moving on to?
I don't know. you really are a grumpy old man.
Yeah,
you took a huge shit and you came at her and now you're.
I think we do have a special guest. I don't want to put her on the spot, but Erin made a new friend tonight. She was at a Kamikaze, which is Stan Lee's convention. Ooh. And she did a panel with some ladies. I don't know what the panel was called. Ladies of powerful ladies. I don't know. Sexy ladies. I have no idea. My girlfriend was on it. But she made friends with a pioneer of what is now a comedic institution, which is kind of an interesting thing. And you don't know if she's here? If I just awkwardly say
Hillary Clinton, everybody, please bring her out.
Did Lorraine Newman make it tonight?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
What? Who is that guy that's such an expert on her not making it? This is like a Mr. Clean guy in the back. No. I would know.
That's Chevy Chase back there.
Well, I was hoping to talk to her a little bit about our mutual. Yeah, we both worked with a mutual.
Wait, so Lorraine Newman was going to be here?
Yeah, she made friends with Erin. She's a delightful
And
lady.
Then she came to the green room. She smelled that giant.
Yeah, we made best friends, Erin said.
She smelled your giant shit and she fucking boned out.
I probably fucking smoked her out with my big, gross fucking McDonald's poop. Lorraine Newman, if you're out there, thank you for not coming. You would have only smelled my poop.
I'm bummed out. I would love to meet Lorraine Newman.
Well, yeah, no, it'd be interesting to talk to her just a little bit. I don't know how sick she is of talking about SNL, but she was there in 1975 at the beginning of what is now like this the Exxon of comedy. But when it wasn't the Exxon of comedy, when it was a variety show, it was just a variety show. It was live. It wasn't meant to be archived and, you know, oh, this is Coneheads number 3. This is Coneheads number 4.
It was the first NBC show to fire its creator and bring him back.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Back when that was cool.
Yeah, back when that resulted in success. That was the first time. Yeah. But in lieu of that, I don't know, man. This is a Tupperware container in the back of the fridge that has got a lot of different colors that I can see through the translucent body. Jeff, I don't go on Reddit anymore, and I don't go on... Well, hold your applause, because this is a segment of the show called Because I Don't Go on Reddit Anymore, What the Fuck is Going on Reddit? because I get tweeted things. I got tweeted, Jeff.
Yeah.
Do you know what a subreddit is?
I've gone on Reddit twice, and I don't understand what the ups and the downs, and there's a little picture of a Martian, and I don't know what's going on.
It's millennial shit.
Yeah.
Wait, they think that's changing the world.
Wait, so you go it's not a regular forum, because depending on whether people like what you wrote or not, it moves up and down.
Yeah.
So if I look at it one day and then go back the next day, it's all in a different order based on its own popularity?
Yeah.
Gay.
Downvote. All right, so...
And I mean gay in a Gen X, I don't care if gay is bad gay. Not your millennial, oh, come on, man, bullying shit, man.
Integrity.
Integrity. That's not integrity, it's just called being a cunt.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No,
anymore.
We're not good people, but we think...
No, I'm not saying we're good
Dan,
people.
Dan, that's so retarded. That's not integrity. That's
integrity,
just...
integrity doesn't mean good person. Integrity means...
No, it does. That's exactly what it means.
Integral. Integral.
To what?
To what? To the oneself. Self-contained.
Self-contained.
Yeah, so integrity. Can... Okay, I know who I am.
So we're self-contained assholes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so you're not...
I'm sure, you know what? Some of us are self-contained good people. Kurt Cobain. He seemed all right. On the inside?
Seemed, yeah.
I don't know. He seemed like a good guy to me. Seemed like he had integrity. How many of today's artists have the balls to blow their brains out? Because they're popular.
Or how many artists today have the balls to marry somebody who hires somebody to blow their brains out? She had him killed. Come on. She fucking had that dude killed.
It's not ours to say.
It's mine to say.
Because you have integrity. That's my point. Generation X, baby.
We're not going to go down as the coolest generation, man. We're not even going to make the top 10 in this century.
Oh, that's true. But we did open the roads to trade agreements with China. In our own way.
When you say we, you mean you and me?
Yeah.
We
didn't. Benson.
No, baby boomers did that on our watch.
Well, they loosened the mayonnaise jar. But Generation X really, really drove it home with China. We are the reason why Iron Man 3 had a special segment in it where the Iron Man lands in China and says, I love China. That was our doing. This generation.
Does Gen X like China?
We have now come to terms with the fact that we have to like them. To the point where we re-edited Red Dawn and airbrushed out all the Chinese flags into North Korean flags. Yeah. We are Generation X is the generation that has now come to terms with China. Come to terms with it. The way it comes the way Newton came to terms with gravity. This exists. China exists. We are the Marco Polo of
integrity.
People in a world where China's already been discovered. All right. What were we talking about?
No. Oh, a new segment called...
What's on Reddit? Yeah. Okay, all right. So, subreddit. There's a Harmontown subreddit.
Yeah.
All right, so remember our friend Levi?
Yes, I do.
With the shoes?
Yeah. Our kind of cross-dressing...
So he tweeted me...
He's unbanned now.
Well, Adam, you're coming up.
I don't know what you're talking about. That
I don't either. Adam has to come up and talk about this. Adam is a moderator of the subreddit. Levi was banned.
Wait, who elected Adam moderator of the subreddit?
Adam created the subreddit.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay.
Adam, would you don't have to come up, but I'm inviting you up to... I want to talk about the subreddit maintenance. So this is a fact-finding mission.
How is adding scenes to Iron Man 3 integrity?
I was obviously being ironic.
You guys are really good at irony.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we invented Iron Man.
Wow.
All right.
Well, we invented loving him.
Okay. After Baywatch, there was a wonderful series called Baywatch Nights that everybody watched, and it went more than 6 episodes. And after Harmontown, there was Harmontown.com and then a Reddit section to discuss Harmontown.
Right.
So I created it. Someone annoyed me. I gave them a week off. They're back now. And I learned the depth to which I am disliked.
May I interrupt? When you say you gave someone a week off, that sounds like you sent somebody to Tahiti, like in the, on an all-expense-paid vacation.
Any other website but our Harmontown is Tahiti. What?
I have no idea. So you sent someone to the cornfield, like the kid in Twilight Zone? Like, what?
That's a good episode, yeah.
You banned him from it?
Yeah.
Because
in
why?
In the community... Look, I'm going to start. Look, it takes one to know one.
Neither do I know, nor do I care. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I just want to know.
No, but really, I mean, yeah. I appreciate. I'm cognizant of the fact that dragging you up here is you're up at the plate with 2 strikes against you. Blah blah blah. But I really do. I am actually curious. I also think there's some inherent entertainment value. And I believe
the first 2 parts. I did not believe that part.
You don't think that I thought that it would be entertaining to talk about it?
I
accept that I would be wrong.
This is like a DVD commentary about a DVD commentary.
But I wanted to talk to you. Okay.
What I was really thinking about when I was talking about that was how that.
But also, I've been in the Harmontown subreddit, and I've seen, like, you know, you, as in all of Reddit, you see every once in a while you see the brackets, and it says deleted. What does that mean? What happens?
Sometimes it's user deleted. Sometimes it's automatically deleted.
Sometimes people delete their own.
Yeah. Like if you say something like Tahiti being something something, you can be like, I didn't say that at all.
Right.
Deleted.
But if someone responds to you and says, you're full of shit and here's why, you can go back and delete your comment and just leave that person hanging there going like, you're full of shit, Mr. Deleted in brackets.
Which is why you have to quote extensively. You have to say, right. Well, you said this, this, and this, but actually the capital is Mogadishu, so I think you've been welcome to the own zone. Hashtag own zone.
So our friend Levi...
Didn't use that term.
Our friend Levi...
Acquaintance.
Is in the Harmontown subreddit, where let's all admit that nobody's tomorrow's senators are not running through the Harmontown subreddit. It is hopefully a place for misfits.
It's like a field of dreams of glory holes, but there are some animals mixed in there.
Right.
So it's not some.
Okay, now I'm back in.
It is a place where normal interactions are theoretically possible, but the medium makes them squealier than nearly anything else. Your internet is a toilet theory.
Yes, it is, and it's horrendous. And I'm speaking to you as a guy who won't even go back there because I realize that even the act of being there can cause harm to people. So I'm not attacking you, but I'm definitely curious and think it's an important conversation as we talk about going to form a colony on the moon. And you are in this situation, appointed or not, where you created the subreddit, which I thought was
it's a good place. It's a good discussion venue. But
so it put you in the place of a moderator, and now you're in the position. You got this ban button, and you clicked on it for this guy mm-hmm. who's been on our show with his no shoes and his crazy
talk.
Yeah,
I think his thing was he was barefoot and wanted to be pregnant.
Right. So what did he do in the subreddit that made the difference between clicking ban and just letting him go?
I think it was like the 87th post of why did you ban me that retroactively justified everything. But if you look at someone's comments on Reddit, it tells you how many times that you downvoted them or how many times they're like, I don't want to read this ever again.
So his crime was being the Dan Harmon of the Harmontown subreddit?
He was being the Adam Goldberg of the Harmontown subreddit.
But the Adam Goldberg of the Harmontown subreddit banned him. Which is why this is so fascinating.
It isn't. It's just, at some level, that arbitrary power has the ability to be arbitrary.
But why did you ban him?
Because I was annoyed. It was getting to the point where every single comment was him responding to someone. And I'm going to take this at a personal level. Back in January, at the show at the Egyptian, when I rushed on stage and embarrassed myself, that was because I was thinking about Harmontown almost all the time. What am I going to say at Harmontown? What should I do for Harmontown? What should I wear for Harmontown? That wasn't a very healthy place to be. And when you see someone whose all their internet posts are, hey, this relates to Harmontown, this is how I feel about Harmontown, is that how you feel about Harmontown? You realize that in someone else is something that's been plaguing you. And well, so giving them, it's arbitrary, it's a sign of power, and I regret doing it because the entire community's consensus was I shouldn't have done it.
Okay, so this is confessional for you, right? This is the trap you fell into. You felt like a nerd and an underdog, and you felt like you had done things that you shouldn't have done, and then you saw someone else doing them, and you were like, yeah, and that's what we all do.
And I didn't go about it very eloquently. Internet is not a venue for eloquence. It doesn't have a lot of eye contact. It doesn't have pitch.
I have a very high standard for word choice on the internet.
Absolutely.
And I demand 100%. No, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, otherwise deleted by deleted will get up in there. Oh. But the fact that we can create communities about communities by someone who created community shows your theory that millennials are a really abstracted pictures of frames generation, because everything is iterated. Everything has a comment section. Everything is a direct response, a way to yell at Clint Eastwood. Hey, at Clint Eastwood, you are tefagort. LOLs. Hashtag LOLs. And you can, person who reads that can click every other instance of someone misspelling laughs out loud.
Right.
That's our culture. That's our culture. And it may not be Kurt Loder on MTV News, but it's...
A chill shot from...
It's everyone thinking they're Daria. It's every single Daria in the high school library writing to every other Daria.
That's really interesting, because nobody would be more into that than Gen Xers. Like, that's how we approach it. We're like, oh, shit, everyone's a Daria. But, like, fuck these Darias using this thing. That's interesting. Because we thought Kurt Loder was as good as it got.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Yes, we did, Jeff! Stop! Don't be a fucking sellout!
Dan, stop tying me to fucking Kurt Loder.
Jeff, and you loved him.
And people, please welcome to the stage Kurt Loder. Is he here?
I don't... Yeah. Kurt Loder.
What did that guy do wrong?
He did nothing wrong, but he didn't speak for us.
I know. I wasn't saying he was the Walter Cronkite of our generation.
Well, that was the implication.
He brought him up. What Adam is saying, what I'm extrapolating from that, is that a huge technological threshold that we crossed between these generations, depending on where you draw the line, is that we went from passive one-way transmission into interactive. Yeah. We have a generation that's grown up on the internet. That means that they get to say something back. It doesn't fucking matter to Rupert Murdoch what they have to say, but we have to all deal with each other in this swirly, eyes wide shut toilet of everyone saying back to each other. And Gen Xers are coming from a place of like, you know, in my day, you just, you know, you did what you had to do and you put yourself out there. And, you know, if somebody had something to say back, it got back to you through less channels, thinner fiber optic lines. And now it's just, we're all swimming around in this turd pit.
It used to take real effort to threaten a celebrity. You need to find out their address. You need to get to the post office, get a stamp. And now it's a few clicks on your phone. And I think that has a deeper effect than just allowing us to yell at each other a little louder.
Yeah. My big concern is the psychological or philosophical, maybe you would call it, the impact of people feeling like it's revolutionary to use that medium to police each other. Mm-hmm. When in my day, Kurt Loder told kids what to dance to. And there was a president above him who went to war with all the countries and launched the Tomahawk missiles. And nobody ever questioned the politician. No, you're exactly right. That's not how MTV worked, because it had nothing to do with what the president did above him. But Kurt Loder told the kids what to think and what to feel, and the kids told Kurt Loder whether or not he was full of shit. And you reacted to Kurt Loder by getting your haircut different from Kurt Loder, or getting your haircut the same as Kurt Loder, and nothing ever affected the fucking president. Flash forward to today, where you have a president, and instead of Kurt Loder, you have 8 million fucking YouTube channels. You have a bunch of people swirling around each other. What you don't have is anybody asking what the fuck the president is doing. That's why it's a little infuriating to me that the toilet underneath what used to be Kurt Loder is now consumed with policing each other. It's like they've tricked us into like self-hatred, which is a common thing that happens all the time. We're like are you racist? Are you sexist? We're going to do this dance forever? Really? Like,
yeah, everyone wants to squab everyone else.
Yeah.
But I'd like to,
I'm alarmed about it because they turned the key on the internet. They're like, here we go, everybody. Here's the internet. And the government must have been like, holy shit, what the fuck are they going to do? And they crossed their fingers and closed their eyes, and then they slowly unplugged their ears, and all they heard was Got Milk ads.
What's up? It's a Super Friends doing What's Up. But yeah. Between Kurt Loder and the internet, there was a show called TRL. Total Request, one woo for TRL, which is accurate. Total Request Live was the bridge between mass culture and prescribed culture.
Yes, because you could totally request live.
People would go to New York and make part of their visit standing outside MTV studios and saying, I need to hear Bye Bye Bye. I need to hear Bye Bye Bye.
Technology
Justin,
which had never existed on Good Morning America.
But now there's nothing like that because you can watch music videos whenever you want. You don't have to hear a snippet of 98 Degrees' new hit. And you don't have the music video television telling you whether or not this is a hot record or something that's going to be into the pit.
But that affects consumption. It doesn't affect how we react to the people who live behind these marble walls.
It's not a wealth poverty dynamic. It's a person to listener dynamic.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
How the ability for all of us to talk to each other all of a sudden has absolutely no impact above a certain level?
It didn't. Do you think the patricians in ancient Rome were like, oh, that guy,
in ancient Rome, when somebody announced that there was a new way to measure a rectangle, sometimes that dude got his fucking arms and legs cut off.
Oh, yeah, bad example.
Yeah, because it threatened the way we thought about government.
There was a lot of murder because of people's ideas in ancient Rome.
I think that the guy that decided the sun was at the center of the solar system, a seemingly benign idea, was forced to repent.
A benign idea that wasn't in the Bible.
Correct. Now that we've defeated the Christians, now we have no more power structures to overcome, right? We don't have a religion in this world that's like telling us what to think.
If you go look at Tehran or something, that religion as a powerful societal influence can be extremely restrictive in what people say, but also how they think. They found that in some Saharan African cultures that if there's no past tense, there is no words that follow concepts like promise. There's no word in Swahili for promise because it requires the past tense of I said I was going to do something. Now I'm not under that obligation. Words are directly power, and when you give words like the Bible, like the Torah, like the Quran, the power to be absolutely true and free of the strictures of science and free of the questioning of the man on the street, those words gain eternal power. Now we don't have that. The internet, if it was even there at all, one of the first websites I visited was called Skeptics Annotated Bible. That was when I was a little shit. It was 2003. I would sneak off from swim at a summer camp and look up all these passages of the Bible and then like little pictures on the sides like, how can that be true? That's mathematically false. Well, what did it say in Genesis 1? And just the ability to transmit ideas instantly against the strictures of religion has like a Martin Luther effect on changing our culture.
Well,
a Gutenberg effect.
We beat the Bible a million years ago.
No,
you can look at the skyline of a city and see that the buildings that have to do with money.
All right. Sonic the T-shirt, jacket, and a Power Ranger shirt. The power combo has now reached the stage. How you been?
You don't have to clap me.
You can applaud for Jesus. How you been? Building rocket ships?
Jesus has joined us.
Hello? Jesus, I was just thinking about today, has come up on stage. I was just thinking about you the other day,
oh man,
we squandered our Harmenian who was actually building spaceships.
Yeah, I was just helping people build them. So
yeah, but if any, I mean, you're doing more than Adam in terms of space flight. once we get to the moon, we may need Adam to tell us.
Jesus, what compelled you to come up to the stage?
Well, the idea that we beat religion, and it's just like a big no. All I've done is read, and I'm just like an internet guy. I'm not going out there. I'm not, you know, like actually talking to people. It's just things I've read. If you go to any kind of area outside of a city, things can be like hundreds or just at least 60 or 50 years behind what we think we've already beaten.
Absolutely.
And when we talk about, oh, that's just rural area, well, that's most of the country.
Of the world, places where children can't go to school because of their gender, we haven't beaten religion. In Los Angeles, we have. In Los Angeles, you could be gay 80 years ago and it wasn't a huge deal.
Yes.
But in most of the country, that is tantamount to saying the devil has control of your senses, motivations, and instincts. You are a flaw.
Absolutely conceited, you guys. Absolutely. Okay. However, as a sort of like the people that are making things, the people that have constructed the glass in your eyeglasses, the people that are like as a society, the people that have built the skyscrapers that are taller than the churches on the skyline, the people that are printing the newspapers, the people that are kind of like, you know, secular. The people that are in the silent majority, it's strong language to say we won, we beat them, because that implies there's no more fight to be fought. What I mean when I say that is, we have to get our shit together. We are empowered now. We know that logic is important. We know.
I really agree. I think that. And this is something very strongly, I guess, I'd like to broadcast out to the world. I think everyone needs to pick the path of least resistance. You don't argue with people. Arguing never convinces someone of anything.
We just convinced him of something.
Well, he's open.
No, that's not true. If you guys had told me that I was wrong about something, I would have fucking batted it off because I'm a primate.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You changed me by saying how you felt about something, and I was invited to make sure that you knew that I was also in that water. That's important to know.
And yeah, you're open. You're one of the most open people. You're open to people coming up. And I just walked up. I had no right to do it. And you're fine with that, ish. You know, don't do it, you guys. But but it's just fact that when you I've been trolling ish the Fox News comment section. And just being like, Obama's trying to give me gay health care, you know, like just trying to take it to the extreme.
At least you have health care.
The extreme level to see when they like go back and other Republicans will be like, I don't think he's trying to do that. That hasn't happened yet.
Right.
They just kind of agree.
There's so little resistance to just going into the New York Times Facebook comment section, no matter what the story is, and just saying God is real. And someone will pick a fight with you. Someone will pick a fight with you. And then when they do, you say, that's a good point, but you forgot that God is real.
But I can't even remember what. It's like this is this rabbit hole that we go down. I mean, if you guys want to get in a knife fight with people that are, you know, they're sort of like have constructed their worldview around something that absolutely needs to be argued with. But there's a mindset where like you know, I know atheists that are so immature about their atheism that I sometimes encourage them to just be Christian. That's why I'm like, you're such a fucking zealot about how God doesn't exist. Like, I feel like you're protesting too much, and like, I didn't walk into this bar feeling like God didn't exist so much that I needed to get into a knife fight about it, whereas you do. So maybe you need to go back to the thing. And I also know atheists that are the most compassionate, wonderful. Like that's why they're technically the word atheist almost is.
Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I don't think people think when you become an atheist or a Christian, that's like an achievement. But no, I feel like an asshole will be an asshole in any culture.
Sure.
They're just going to grow up and be like, oh, this is the way I get to be an asshole and tell people what to do. And in some cultures, it's easier to be this way or that way. It doesn't matter. We need to stop thinking of the spectrum between atheism and Christianity. It's just you're a cool dude and you're not a cool dude or dudette. Or
and so when we talk about subreddits and we talk about AV Club and we talk about Defamer, we're living in this post-internet world. The internet was created by these programmers.
It was created by the military to communicate ideas really quickly.
Yes, there was an the military was like, what if you made computers together? It's not helping us kill people. Give it to the libraries. I'm talking about the code that was built, the what is it, 40 years old now? What is Unix? There's the code that we've built our entire virtual structure on. It was I'm pretty sure that those guys didn't go home at night and rub rosary beads and stuff. Like I think those guys are maybe some of them were Christian. Like Stephen Colbert is a fucking Christian. I also think that they're logicians. They have to be. They are pragmatic people.
Wait, Dan, can we get back to the thing I started this all was you saying that you are now not on subreddit, you're not on the internet anymore?
Well, that's because I'm hurting people every time I get on the internet.
So no Twitter, no Facebook, no...
Twitter is fine. Twitter seems to be doing fine. I put pictures of my dog on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter. And then on Tumblr, people can, send me messages. And, these kids send me messages, and sometimes they say, I'm gay and I want to kill myself, and I can write them back privately if they wrote privately and go, don't do that. Keep being gay.
It sounds like you missed out on everyone after that episode where you felt that you were hurting someone. Everyone's like, no, I want Dan Harmon to keep talking.
Yeah, it was like 98%. Dan rules.
Dan Harmon needs to keep talking.
Well, I don't want to, there's a polarizing effect of that stuff that I don't want to, what you have to do in those moments? You have to shoot straight through the middle. And I don't want to, I don't want to get warped by that idea. I just felt like, I don't know, you follow your bliss. Like, my bliss is not hanging out on there. I'm not doing it passive aggressively.
How is anybody's bliss living in a fucking comment section? I can't understand it.
Exactly.
I was born in 1973. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Get off my lawn, you whippersnappers. But fucking comment sections is just a bunch of fucking anger, a bunch of misguided spleen for no reason.
Well, people being sarcastic like me and trying to get a reaction.
I will answer that question,
Jeff. Adam, you went mad with power. You were in control of something, and the first time somebody reminded you of yourself, you snuffed them out like a cigarette. It's an ugly ugly world. And the reason, I looked at Reddit, I went down a thing, and some things that people say, very sweet things. Sometimes people say, I don't like it, and here's why, and it's very, very succinct and very well worded and lovely. But mostly it's just a bunch of spiraling nonsense. And I'm not trying to say, stop what's going on here, but watching four men talk about religion and politics is like the fucking like it's all guys do. Like, guys get together, we have a couple of drinks, and we
haven't even talked about Jesus' shoes, which are fantastic, but I did mention his shirt.
Adam, I was talking. Shut the fuck up. Women talk about interpersonal things, and guys try to solve the world's problems, and we get together and we just spiral around and do all this stuff. And the internet to me is just this weird spiraling morass of inanity. And I look at it and go, it's just like I said, if I want to just complain, I'll type some shit. And it's watching people just bicker, and I hate bickering.
Sounds like you hate waste.
Huh?
Waste.
Waste of time. Waste of energy. Waste of waste of the English language. I hate the abbreviation of our language into clicks and grunts, which H.L. Mencken in the 20s or 30s predicted before typewriters and computers, and before, I mean, but not before typewriters, but before people wrote through typing. He predicted that our language would be reduced to a series of short grunts and clicks and abbreviations and anagrams.
Acronyms.
And he's absolutely right. It's like watching people have discourse like that. It's shocking. Our language is dying, and I think there's nothing to be proud of by a culture that communicates through feedback loops like that. I think that it's there's no art to it. There's no intelligence necessary. And I think there's no vetting process and there's no qualifications for someone to go on there and moderate something, to ban somebody, to go on there and flame somebody, to go on and torture people, to go on and tell you to shut up, for you to feel bad about that, for you to even care about it. Like I go to restaurants. I look at Yelp because Yelp is great because it tells you where. Like if I travel a lot, and I'll type in Italian restaurant if I'm in the mood, or pizza, or Thai food, or whatever I want. And you look at it, and I look for the worst reviews. And if I see some cunt or douchebag or some guy go, I went on a first date to Bangkok Thai Palace, and my date was pretty unhappy. I'm like, no, you had a bad time. You're an asshole. Like if I find the most bad reviews, I go to that restaurant because that guy won't be there.
Yeah, well, so, but listen. So you go to the drawing room, you got your suit on, you play darts, you have the same conversation you have with the regulars there. There's some repetition there. There's some inefficiency there. I'm not standing up for what you're talking about, but I'm saying it is human nature. There's introverts and extroverts. There's people who want to look good and people who are better at making eye contact. I'm not in that school. I'm graduating. I'm being forced to graduate at 40 years old. I do not want it to be happening to me, but a lot. I didn't want to quit smoking either. I have to get off the fucking internet, and I have to go sit in a corner of a bar and
drink. Let's all get off the internet. Let's all just throw it in the toilet. It's like
another lost episode, everybody.
But also you guys were talking about before about like whether or not. Hang on a second. Because I'll forget what I'm saying. I'm sorry to cut you off. But the internet can be revolutionary, and the moment there is a protest in Seattle against, you know, the World Bank or whatever, and they turn off your fucking Twitter, they turn off your phones, so people can't say, let's all meet and let's go protest, and one person says, hey, let's all go break some windows, that person goes to jail, and didn't commit a crime, but for inciting a riot. The Egyptian Spring and all this stuff, they made our telephones illegal because it can be very powerful. We do have in our fingertips the ability to take down institutions, governments, all kinds of things. They are very happy to watch us just LOL at LeBron James's tweet about somebody's asshole, and like that's what it all is. The moment it becomes effective and we do anything with it. Like, it's possible to be great graffiti on walls, like the Situationists, where they would write, their graffiti was incredible political screeds and things like that that made sense and were provocative. The moment you provoke anything on Twitter, they just shut off your cell towers. And they don't want you to actually communicate. So what we've been limited to is pretending that what we're doing when we're typing these things in and thumbing things instead of talking to the people and making eye contact with anybody, we're not communicating shit. We're doing the opposite of communicating. We're inverting like a sea cucumber. Like, we're not doing anything positive.
I'm going to disagree. Communication doesn't have to be revolution, and fun can be fun. Just because we're not marching on Washington or driving our trucks there in some failed attempt to take out people in suits things.
Fun is always legal. Fun is always legal. Revolution is always illegal.
That's the point, because
no one's going to outlaw checkers. You can play Candy Crush, and no one's going to take your phone away from you. But the moment you use our ability to communicate with each other for anything that's provocative or possibly revolutionary, that's when it's going to be illegal.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't think we're revolutionizing anything in person either. And if the feds are the only people that have phones that are capable of Twitterizing, I don't want to live in that society either.
I miss the good old days, because we were the last people that were actually born. I think that born in 1973, I remember no answering machines. The answering machine was an invention as I was a child. And before then, the phone just rang. And if you didn't pick it up, you weren't home. And fuck you, Aunt whoever. I ain't coming. I remember as being a kid, my mom and dad, the phone would ring, and we'd all look around, and it'd ring. And we'd all just have a fork up, my dad would have a cocktail, my mom would have a glass of wine, and we'd all just look at each other We ain't doing it. We ain't doing it. And the beauty of it, solitude. And then I remember, like, I had a pager. After people had cell phones, I got a pager. And I was like, I'm anchored to the seafloor now. Like, I can never, ever be alone. I can never, ever be free. I think that's my grumpy, like, curmudgeonly, grumpy old man thing is, like, there was a time when you weren't constantly tethered to every fucking person.
But we're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
You're as a guy who wears a suit to a bar and talks to people and hangs out, you are getting a huge amount of usage out of the fact that everyone's interconnected through the internet. Yelp is one example that you mentioned.
Right.
You're asking a different question, which is why would anyone ever choose to emotionally invest themselves into the conversations that take place
on the
internet as opposed to the conversations that take place between you and your friends at a dartboard in a bar? And the answer is because in those conversations, people like me are rendered completely irrelevant and also look at everything as irrelevant. I don't want to talk to those people. I've seen those conversations. I don't get any joy out of them. I don't like interpersonal small talk.
You had an entire book just of things you wrote because the internet gave you a place where you could write them. And
exactly. And
book.
I don't remember a goddamn word of those things. My girlfriend published a book of them, and I was 40 years old walking into my house, and I didn't remember writing any of that shit. And if that medium hadn't existed, I would have.
They'd be in a diary somewhere.
Well, not even, no way. Because with a diary, there would have been no illusion that anyone was out there reacting to me. And there was something strange that happened to me when I discovered that thing called blogging, which had that dumb word, and all my hipster friends were going like, blogging, blog, 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 blog. I'm not going to blog. I'm going to blog, blog, blog. And I was like, you know what?
I still hate blog.
I hate away. And I would come
also, webisode.
Would come
fuck
home.
You, webisode.
Webisode.
I would come home at the end of the night, and I would have a medium in which I could type my thoughts, which I somehow felt like someone's going to read this somehow. It was some weird paradoxical thing where it was like, I'm allowed to write whatever I want because no one's ever going to read it or care about it.
But only if people could read it theoretically.
Would I ever write it?
I think it's
because otherwise, why? No, you're not going to reread.
Why would you scrawl it on a napkin? What am I, Sirhan? I'm not going
to. So Dan, you're saying that now you've forsworn emotional reactions or connections to the comment sections and Reddits and things?
I'm not going to declare policy because I find that it's like when I followed my bliss and kind of I deleted my Reddit client from my phone and I've deleted my only avenues of connection. And believe me, there's nothing against Reddit because it's only against the secondary effects that can happen because Reddit actually is such a beneficial medium, I think, because of its conversational tone, that it lends itself to the Gawker defamer kind of spiral for a guy like me.
Because of celebrity and the intersection between celebrity and technology. And
right.
Jeff, I'd like to say, you having a cell phone is wonderful for your life. You're an actor. You don't want to be in your apartment every day hoping that you hear back for a part. You can go out. You can live a life. You don't have to worry about the answering machine. You don't have to worry about not having an answering machine. As someone who gets gigs while he's driving or while he's at a party or at a friend's house, being able to take my work with my pocket is tremendously freeing.
Sure.
Because there are some days the phone doesn't ring at all. But if it's 7 p.m. on a Sunday, I like to be able to know I'm going to work on Wednesday have to be at home.
Adam, why are you mad at me right now?
He thinks that you might possibly convince everyone in a room full of people to unplug the internet because you have flesh and blood efficacy, which is something that Adam and I do not have. And so we like to sit in the corners of our dark apartments, or in my case, mansion. Because of what I write,
you've committed to being a bad person. I love that.
We get an emotional charge, and I was going to say it's neither healthy nor unhealthy, but I might as well just say it's unhealthy.
It can't possibly produce good effects. I mean,
what? None of us are living in the days of Jane Austen. We are not. And was she nailing it? What are we supposed to be going to picnics and
doing like special dances among the nobles, you know, to strengthen some kind of class system, and it's a shame that you go to a dinner and your elbows are on the table, even though
someone
make
a picture
dollars.
Of Adam has just broken into a flask of booze here.
I don't know what that is.
It's Harmontown Earthshine. Give more than you take is the slogan of Harmontown Earthshine.
Oh, I don't even know what this is.
I do.
I'm drinking it.
Who made this booze?
Sorry, we should have whoever's responsible
What's
for this come
name?
Up and take credit for it.
Come on, get up here.
I'm holding a. I didn't know. I think somebody must have. Hello. What's your name, sir?
Glenn.
What's that?
Glenn.
I'm holding a bottle of. It says. It's Harmontown Earthshine. And the slogan is give more than you take. So tell us about this. It's a good.
So, I started making, started homebrewing about 20 years ago.
It's moonshine?
It's moonshine.
What kind of liquor is it? So,
double distilled. This is about 130 proof.
130 proof.
Yeah, you want to walk.
Oh, I can't drive home now.
But wow. It's, yeah, the base liquor is actually
Santa Monica tomorrow.
I have to write like three episodes of Community tonight. And just sip is going to make the third one about
it's distilled
socks.
It's distilled from mead?
I mix basswood honey and maple syrup.
Pass that shit down, Adam.
And ferment it out with champagne yeast, and then double and triple distill it.
Wowee.
And you just slid it in there.
Dan
took a sip and became the lyric from George Jones' White Lightning. His eyes bugged out and his face turned blue.
Yeah, I had immediate sensory memory of that Nashville show.
That's delicious.
I love that it's Earthshine.
It's like
when
a nice
you're on
brandy
the moon.
Almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nice. It carries a lot of the flavor from the... from the honey forward.
Good booze.
God. When did you first start brewing
alcohol? You could run your fucking car on that stuff.
So
that's strong.
So this
it's
is
like
actually,
paint thinner if a paint thinner kicked.
Well, it'll take Sharpie off. It's actually the base. I keep some of it pure like this, but I usually actually as a base for an absinthe that I make every year.
So how does somebody...
I can't believe it took us this many episodes for people to start making us our own booze.
I love that it's Earthshine because we'll be living on the moon. That's brilliant.
Oh, God.
So, Glenn, how does somebody get into that? So, like somebody you're into ships and bottles and you're...
So, it's funny. I started making a beer homebrew about 20 years ago.
We're not breaking so many federal laws by passing this booze around right now.
We didn't sell it. It's not being sold. It's being...
Hey,
it's
give
being,
that back.
No,
all right.
Yeah.
No, don't.
So I'm a scientist.
All right. I'm a scientist.
I have a PhD in metallurgical engineering.
Uh-huh.
Tastes like it.
And this is... it's a hobby.
All right.
We're
all going to jail tonight. I love this. Or getting laid.
It's a hobby.
Something good's about to happen right now. When
Jeff,
a bottle of booze.
It's already happening.
It's 9/11.
Jesus Christ.
It makes
some good's about to happen.
Why were they storing so much smoke in the World Trade Center?
Glenn, all right, everybody, calm down. I want to. This is interesting. Glenn.
Dan, have more moonshine because I want that Nashville energy you had back. Because at one point you started dipping cheese sticks into ranch and then just smearing the ranch over your face. Like shave cream.
You can cut it. Put it on the rocks. Cut it with a little bit of water.
Where'd that bottle go?
It's over here.
Okay.
It's safely out of the way.
It's back in this.
No, it's back in the back of the house right now.
No, we have it.
So, Glenn, it's an interest that started with you with making homebrew beer. Mm-hmm. So you're making stuff in your garage that's designed to sip and get fucked up on. But with homebrew beer, you have that sort of logical out of it's beer. It tastes good. I'm a connoisseur of the flavor. When you branch out into moonshine, you're sort of like, you're becoming more of a Timothy Leary figure. I'm curious about...
Well, it's more about the absinthe.
Right.
Because I also have, an herb garden. I grow all my own herbs that go into the absinthe, and then it's something that I offer to friends every year.
Okay, you're on the guest list for the rest of life.
You are all my friends.
Official podcast.
All right, well, let's have a hand for Glenn, and let's...
Let's say goodbye to Adam Goldberg, too. Thank you, Adam. I mean, I think we had an interesting... That wasn't a show killer, right? We had an interesting conversation about the nature of the internet.
I think so. I think it's something that it's not going to get solved here. I mean, I think we all have different reactions, right? You make a good point that you have a relationship with the internet that I don't have because I'm more of a... I'm a more a gregarious person.
Yeah.
And when I look at people having fake or what I perceive to be... Let's not overstate it. There's lots of stuff I've seen on forums and non subreddits and stuff. The two times I've gone to it or whatever, people are having discourse that is actual conversation. It so quickly dissolves into ego and me kind of stuff. There's just so much bickering and fighting that I can't dig it. But you know, I like to go be alone in public. I love being out around people and not talking to them. Like I don't need that much interaction.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome if you said you don't want to have that much of an emotion. Like you don't want to tie your ego to the internet as much as you do.
Well, I can't anymore. I'm not allowed to anymore. Can't do it.
You are allowed to.
No, I can't. I was talking to a community writer tonight at the drawing room before the show, and he was talking about some guy that was a professor at something at some college or something that he was using an example. So a phrase he used really hit home with me, where he said, "Well, this guy was a critic of literature, and then he would say, he became prominent, and he didn't become prominent because he was good. It wasn't because he was bad. He just became prominent. He was a critic of literature, and then he would criticize Hamlet, and then there were people that would go, 'Holy shit, this guy! Wow, Hamlet even he can criticize. He's the best.' And then there were other people that would go, 'Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck you. Lock you in a coffin and throw it in the ocean criticizing Hamlet. Go fuck yourself.' And it was polarization. This guy, the phrase he said, this community writer telling me about this guy that really hit home with me was, it kind of warped this guy. Which made me realize, you know why it warped him? Because he was thinking about both of those things. Because neither of those things are true. He should be allowed to just have an opinion about Hamlet. And if he's prominent because of it, that's just tough titties for him and tough titties for anybody that listens to him. He's not allowed anymore to base his identity on what people think about him because he has entered the business of being prominent, whether he liked it or not. And boy, oh boy, I'm sure he looks forward to the day when he's not prominent anymore. But until then, he's got to steer between those columns. He can't be affected by the gravity on either side. There's some people saying he's a god and some people saying he's a devil. And they're all full of shit. It's like they're not talking about a person anymore. They're not talking about a guy who read Hamlet that has a feeling about it. That's not what anybody
so
goes
does,
to that guy
how
for.
That, how does that relate to you?
It means that I got to get the – I have to stay off of – forums, Reddits, comment sections, all that stuff. Because that's where people will say that I am a god or a devil. I cannot let that stuff affect me anymore.
Good. That's great.
You're great.
Speaking of great, let's bring Spencer on stage.
Yes. Spencer.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing tonight? Not you, audience. The two on stage.
Spencer's gotten mad with power.
No, okay. So do you ever, you know, when like a friend or a roommate or a family member takes a shower and like right when the door opens or like right after they open the door and it's like hot and wet air?
Yeah.
That's what going into the green room tonight was like.
I'm sorry.
It was certainly hot and wet.
Yeah, it was wet. Like, that's not that wasn't even Dan's fault.
It was humid.
Well, none of it was my fault.
I walked into the green room, and the orchids were growing. It was,
Well, I sprayed a lot of Lysol.
Almost made it worse because I think the poop rode on the Lysol particles.
Yeah.
And distributed out into the room.
Yeah, the thing that makes Lysol like effervescent cruise throughout the air just carried your poop like a magic carpet ride around the room.
It was like your poop was wearing cheap cologne.
Yeah. It's like, That's all I got. No, it's funny because it smelled like shit.
It takes a big man to take that big a shit. And an even bigger man to say, I'm so sorry.
Here's why I don't think you're a big man about it, because I walked in there, and it was right before showtime, and you weren't there.
Well,
I mean, part of you was there. A certain essence of you was there.
That's not my fault.
Various molecules that you created were in there, but you were gone. Like, you left there... Like you left the scene of a crime.
That's all at Aaron's doorstep. You can ask her about why I wasn't in there.
She took the shit? Are you covering for her shit?
No, I'm throwing her under the bus, and she can. I'm leaving it up to her if she wants to talk about it or not.
Are you saying that was her shit?
No, it was my shit.
You fell on that grenade.
I was sitting. I swear to God, I was sitting in that room and actually feeling like in a weird medieval way, like I deserve to be sitting in here. Neil, the documentary guy over here, came in and I didn't say anything to him. I don't have that kind of relationship with him. I didn't say, sorry, I took a huge shit. You might want to go get an insert shot of the fucking specs on the... Look, fuck you. Fuck all of you. I'm telling you my thought process. I didn't welcome him into that world, but I knew that he was probably sitting there going, boy, why does Meltdown Comics smell like human fecal matter? Yeah. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking, I deserve this. And then a conversation came up between me and Neil, and Aaron had an emotional reaction to it and took me out to the parking lot that she wanted to talk to me about. And that's why I wasn't in the room, but because otherwise I would have sat there
and owned it.
And I deserved to participate in our agony. And then it was only when I came back, because it was when you know how you leave a room and then like, yeah, when I come back into it, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I knew I had done a bad thing.
Maybe did a bad thing.
But we should,
what was the hub?
Well,
we should bring
Aaron out.
Aaron McGathy, join us, won't you?
Because honestly, I'll leave it up to you if you want to talk about it or not. I don't...
Really quick, you know when all of your friends see a horror movie and they're like, oh God, you guys see this movie, it's so scary, it's so terrifying, and you see it and you're like, I don't get it. That was like me walking into the bathroom after you had shit. I can't smell it anymore. That used to
Wow. Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, she said.
You've identified with the terrorism of Dan's asshole.
As far as the parking lot incident, I'm not a proud person. I'm not proud of this, but I don't see Dan very often, and I was out of town, and I heard about a thing. Whenever I see Dan, I'm always asking him, how's work? How's this thing? How was your walk to the store? What was that thing? And Dan's understandably tired and doesn't tell me things. So Neil knew something that I didn't, that I was very excited about. So I got bummed out because I felt like he didn't share it with me.
I don't talk about work when I come home. So like there's so much going on. I'm semi-conscious of how much I'm not telling you. Kind of. A little
right.
bit.
It's not a big but deal. I had a big reaction to it because I was like, well, I want to
And it was
be
sort of unexpected
of
that
stuff.
Neil came in because Neil's making this documentary. The Harmontown.
Who is Neil?
The Harmontown documentary.
Neil Berkeley, fantastic filmmaker.
The Harmontown documentary is it tracks Spencer a little bit, as it should. Spencer is sort of a representative of fans and I don't know, whatever. He's interesting.
Look, I'm a metaphor.
I mean, it really has nothing to do with the documentary. My feelings. I just wanted to know.
I'm not explaining anything about
it. Go to the parking lot.
I'm catching people up on something. So because Neil's making this movie that has to do with Spencer, I told Spencer, I think yesterday, something that I hadn't told anybody, which was that I had recently, willy-nilly, in order to save myself some work, I had cast Spencer in a role on Community. And so I told Neil, I said, oh, Spencer's going to be shooting on next week, so you could come for your documentary. Awesome. That would make final image of seeing Spencer.
Thanks.
So Jeff doesn't know that. You guys don't know that. Neil knew that yesterday, and
Dan,
then Aaron was in the green room smelling my shit.
Dan, can I go talk to you in the parking lot?
and Aaron felt like she was like she
only
just feels locked out of my
only
life.
Only because we had been talking. Yeah, because I just don't see him. It really has nothing to do with the information. It could have been. It could have been anything. It's really not a big deal.
It was a big deal at the time. I mean, we had to go out to the parking lot.
I just wanted to talk to you. Also because we had talked about it before, because it was something that I was hoping was going to happen, so I felt like I was the last person to know. But I guess I wasn't. It's not a big deal.
So anyways, that's why I wasn't in there when you were smelling my shit, is because Aaron didn't know I cast Spencer.
All right.
Now I feel weird.
Well, I understandably so. Spencer, it's super, super not about you. I just felt...
I'm making it about me.
No, please do. I feel embarrassed. I feel a little,
jealous.
It's kind of a personal thing.
No.
I feel jealous of, because Dan works at Community all hours of the day. I feel a little thrown under the bus right now. I just want to talk to you. It really has nothing to do with anything.
No, I don't. You didn't know that I had done this thing.
Lorraine Newman, come on up here.
the Lorraine Newman genie committed to his role. No. I like that guy. Who's the guy? I picture him as this giant, bald, like Mr. Clean, like white t-shirt guy with his arms folded, biceps as big as his head, going, no. No Lorraine Newman. All right. 9:25.
What does that mean?
I think it means the dungeons are alive.
Wait,
there's a gentleman in the front row handing Aaron a gift.
Uh-oh.
Oh, thank you. It's a game. It's a geek out game because I like games. Yes. Thank you, sir. See? this is a bummer. I've been so happy all day and all week. Nothing is wrong. I'm happy. No one watched the way that
you can really feel the happiness.
No, I'm fine. That's just Dan. If it was my show, there would be a whole thing with Dan in the parking lot. And I'm just kidding. It's totally fine. Lorraine?
No.
She promised you.
Lorraine
would
be to Lorraine tonight.
All right, Spencer.
What's up, you guys?
Why don't you hand out our character sheets and let's give the people what they may or may not want. A little D&D.
But they go from the top down. It's yours and then hers and then his.
I know how character sheets go.
Well, I mean,
I see you pass them out every day. Yeah. You clearly do not. Yeah, let's Earthshine. Thanks, right. By the way, to Glenn Cook for that Earthshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the bottle still there?
Yeah.
Okay, can we fireman line that down to me? I want another sniff off of it.
Sure.
We could just say pass.
Instagram the label. It's great. I love the concept of Earthshine.
Spencer, you of all people.
Can you hand that to Jeff?
Yeah. Pass me that booze.
Is that an Avery print?
Oh, Jeffrey. Oh, Jeffrey.
It's probably water down.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Guys, he's been sober for 20 years. It's a bad moment. It's a very sad moment. He lost his kids. He lost his kids.
The camera blurs and becomes a documentary about Andy Dick.
Okay, that gulp I took was ambitious.
No, that was... I saw bubbles come up.
How do you...
It was like a Pepsi commercial. Like, you're like, oh, I'm done skateboarding. Time to take a swig.
How do you... How how do you open that?
I'm gonna fuck so many creatures in D&D tonight. I've got that moonshine rage going on. Yeah.
I just cringe watching it.
Let's all go to the parking lot. Why are you looking at me this way? You don't love me enough.
This show got white trashy real fast. Spencer, if you would.
Okay.
Kumail's not here, I guess.
No, he's always got call times. He misses you guys so much, and he'll be back as soon as he can.
I miss Kumail so much.
Oh, are we casting a Krista Berg in this one, or are we playing the threesies? Wait, you?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Ian.
Ian? Ian, get up here.
I got one leg. Sorry.
Ian, I don't know you, do I?
Kind of.
Sorry, Ian, how's it going, man? Yeah. Ian? I love this. Ian, for our home listener, has a colorful ball cap, a do-rag. He's a handsome black gentleman with a thin mustache.
He's a friend of mine, too.
Oh, yeah?
A friend of yours?
Yeah,
do you want to tell you why?
I was looking at character sheets when you came up, but otherwise I would have called it out earlier. But Ian, what up, Ian?
How do you know Spencer?
Hey, Spencer.
Ian, how do you know Spencer?
I'm actually, I live in a house with his brother.
Wow.
Yeah. I've known Spencer for years.
Sounds freaky.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You guys sure? I have the thin mustache because I was just in a play.
What play?
It's called Mickey and Worm. It was a dinner theater play. We played it in Oxnard at a place called The Kitchen.
All right.
Yeah. Are you,
Can we hear a little bit of that?
Yeah, let's do it.
I had like 10 lines. I was a bartender.
Give me one line.
Ian, let's do, you know all 10 of your lines. You're going to do each of your 10 lines, and I will be the other character. In a segment we call Dinner Theater.
And post, we're going to add in the sounds of forks and plates and things like that.
Ching ding! The pet store is now open.
So I start off, and I'm I have to get my voice. I'm like, welcome to Lou Atwater's Club Royale. This is circa 1940. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. What do you have?
I would like a vodka and soda, please. Thank you.
Then the next line's like, Margo? Which one was Margo?
Don't you ever say that name to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. Don't look around while I tell you this. I'm passing the schematics for a jetpack across the bar.
Okay, but I was here last night. When did you fire her?
It doesn't matter. If the Nazis get a hold of it, we're all dead.
Right, boss.
I'll meet you in back. I'll be the one with a monkey on my shoulder.
You got it.
I want this to go on for the rest of my life.
I think we should end there.
Yeah, we'll stop it there.
All right.
Wow.
That's probably better.
Ian, that was very satisfying for all concerned. Ian, are you familiar with Kumail's character, Krista Berg?
I am familiar. He likes to throw a knife with a string attached.
Correct. Right? He has a ribbon dagger now. He's a rogue.
I have no idea how to read this, though.
Don't worry about it. Follow your heart, Ian. Cool. He's a rogue. He's a thief. He's good at picking locks. He likes trouble. And he's very cautious about tying weapons to strings and shit.
Yeah.
All right, Spencer, one more time, if you will. Take us back to the...
He likes trouble.
He loves trouble. Here we are.
When we last met, our heroes had slain Breffy in his metal web in Darkstar's evil lair.
That's right.
They climbed up and out of the lava to higher ground before surveying their surroundings above. They were in a new room full of horrifically slaughtered corpses, the dead bodies of Admiral Darkstar's dark cultist. Then, coincidentally, Yurch the Gnoll showed up. The smelly savage was acting suspiciously, drawing the attention of Quark and Sharpie. Using powerful magic, Sharpie read the gnoll's mind and discovered his evil thoughts. Apparently, Yurch had been practicing blood magic. He used his blood magic to attack the party, but the party tacked back. Whatever. After dodging his blood spells, Quark let loose a mighty farsword blast that cut Yurch clean in two, slaying the evil gnoll. But as the party headed onward, a voice rang out. "You'll pay for what you've done to our blood brother," swore a shadowy figure in the darkness. But before the gang could pursue this figure, it dispersed. Confused, our heroes charged up the stairs and into the top of Dark Star's Dark Tower, where they found the man himself, Admiral Darkstar. Cut the music.
Sweet.
Yes. So you just ran up to the top of these stairs, and you see in the middle of this room, you don't see anything but a massive pillar of black crystal, and standing atop that black crystal is Admiral Darkstar, fully clad in his black-plated armor and a black cape on his body, and he screams out at you as soon as you come up.
You fools have played right into my plan! I mean, I knew it'd be easy to get you to gather all the shards, but I never expected you to bring them right to my lair! Now I will collect your shards and usher in a dawn of the Dark Star!
Oh, boy. I'll field this.
Okay.
Admiral, can I call you Dark? Have I got bad news for you? Kind of gave all our shards away on the way here.
You don't have them?
Yeah, here's the thing about elaborate plans like yours. They involve too much choice on the part of the people being drawn in. We kind of, on the way here, we felt like we needed skeletons.
Well, no matter. I still have the manpower to dispatch you easily. Dark minions, I beckon. Come upstairs and protect me.
Admiral Darkstar, this is
where are my dark minions?
Is there a dark minion who can speak for you in a lower register? I love the way you're talking, but...
Hey, Mulrain, don't give him notes.
Speaking of notes, have you guys seen Anatoly's... Have we talked about this?
The fact that
his
he's
legs?
Just...
I love it. Anatoly is fully reclined on the stage. Yeah.
That is really...
Well, now he's fully reclined on
Anatoly,
the stage.
Are you in show business?
Yep.
You are? Okay.
He dodged that
sorry,
one.
Sorry. Admiral Darkstar.
Yeah, he was screaming some stuff.
All right, so you were looking for your dark minions, sir?
Yes.
Probably don't have any. World's worst trap. No shards for you. About to kill you now.
Do we have our skeleton army with us still, Spencer?
No, they got devoured by lava.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
So it's just us.
Listen, let me ask you this, Admiral Darkstar. Who makes a guy like you admiral?
I declared myself.
Oh, well, pleased to meet you. I'm General Gonna Kick Your Ass. 4 stars.
And I am Major Bummer.
And I'm Colonel Creative Murder.
Coming up the top of the stairs where you guys are, you see one of Dark Star's dark cultists coming up to the stairs. He's out of breath.
Hey!
He's right among you guys.
Dark cultist, hold it right there.
He stops. He's
I kick him in the chest.
No.
I already did it.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
This is my only minion?
Dark cultist, I'm gonna make a proposition to you. We got a situation in front of us here that I want you to look around and do the math. Admiral Darkstar is about to get his ass kicked. Be our dark cultist.
To explain why I just kicked him in the chest, I kick my friends in the chest too.
Yeah, she's.
Right, guys.
Thank you.
I take a Dan Harmon style shit and to fill the room with intimidation.
The dark minion is out of breath from coming up all these stairs, but he's like, Jesus Christ, you guys, did you see down there? And there's a bunch of bodies, and they're all ripped to shreds, and there is blood in buckets.
Yeah, that was us. We did that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He faints.
He faints?
Oh, boy.
He fainted.
My dark army! No!
Your dark army was one guy that faints at the sight of blood?
Apparently.
Oh, Admiral.
Black tentacle attack!
He raises his arms and black shadowy ropes bind you guys, or try to bind you guys by the arms. Let's see if that happens. You know, sometimes when you talk to a villain, he'll attack you guys. That happens. So everyone but Christaberg gets caught by these ropes.
Damn right.
Blacky bonds.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Black tentacles can't touch this.
No black on black violence in this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that happens.
Can I throw a bowl at him?
Whatever you guys want to do.
A bowl?
No, a bola.
Yeah.
Not like a bola.
A bola what?
Spaghetti.
I throw Ebola at him.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I gotta roll this dice. Okay. You hit him in the legs. It catches his legs. He falls off the crystal onto his face.
Fuck yeah.
Well done.
He takes six falling damage.
Bola.
All right, Kumail's out of a job.
I've always wanted to replace Kumail.
Yeah.
In my craft box.
Yeah.
I don't know. In my craft box, do I have any tacks?
Yes.
Okay. I spit tacks at the rope.
At what?
At the rope that's binding us.
Okay.
They're tentacles.
Tacks are... That's a terrible idea. I'm realizing. Do I have any broken glass?
I think you should have a knife.
Mulrain, you have actual weapons. Designed for hurting other things.
Right. Mulrain realizes that she's not going to win with using crafts.
Yeah, that was my brain right shattering. I pull the knife out of my knife holder sheath, and I start hacking away at the ropes.
All right.
Tentacles.
You manage to hack your binds away.
Rope tentacles.
You're free.
Oh, nice.
There. Now that's some crowd reaction. Now that's not some crowd reaction. Nor was that. Why did... Whatever.
How tall is Admiral Darkstar?
He's a good 6 feet.
I climb on his head.
He's like on his... He's on his face right now on the ground.
Well, perfect. So even easier.
Where are these tentacles that are holding us?
They're coming out of the very ground itself.
All right. I try to grapple my way through and use my brute strength to get free.
I got to put it at Dan's turn.
Oh, sorry.
After Mulrain climbs.
Let me ask you a question about the armlet of spring.
Sure.
Which I have always had on my arm. And I have never until now asked you about. Its power being to entangle.
Yeah.
Could I assume control of an entangling vine?
It's not really a vine.
All right, okay. I just drank 130 proof.
I saw. That was impressive.
It was really good.
All right. Well, then I'll... can I... I can't cast Reduce Person on myself, can I?
You could.
And it slipped out of the serpentine grasp of these things?
Sure.
All right. Reductum selfum.
Reducing yourself to a gnome-sized size, you quickly jump out of your binds and away from the grasping tentacles. So Darkstar, he tries to get up with Mulrain on him. Do you want to try to like hold him down or?
Yeah, for sure. I try to make him think that he's in a. All right, I'm just gonna. To punish myself, I'm going to complete my sentence. I am going to try to make him think that he's in a different biome by the way that I am sitting on his head.
Wait.
Take that to mean...
come but again?
I want him to believe that he's in a different place. Let's see. Roll it.
Wait, what?
He tries to pull himself up and goes, I feel like I'm in a swamp. Some bio.
It's nothing to brag about.
And he tries to get up, but he doesn't. So instead, he kind of swings his arm and tries to punch you in the kidney. Tries.
Little does he know, I have no kidneys.
Well, either that or he just missed. But in any case, your kidneys are fine. They've not been impacted by anything.
Great. I continue to sit on his face.
I like that. putting it at Jeff's turn.
I go into a barbarian rage to get myself free from these tentacles.
All right. Throwing yourself into a barbarian rage, you strain against your binds. Yeah. You free yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Do I have an action now? Or is that...
Yeah, you burst forth in a show of energy that, you know, it was really fast style.
I take my mighty sword and I slash at Admiral Darkstar.
All right. You charge at Admiral Darkstar and slash with your mighty sword. And you critically fail.
Oops.
So running towards him. You swing your sword back and you let go of it, and it just flies behind your back. Being a gnome, this weight difference affects you greatly, and you topple onto your face, and you do like three somersault kind of spins before landing on your back.
Wow. I get up and I go, oopsie.
You take 3 damage from skidding on the ground.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I have a quick question. So if I have this, what is bluefin poison? Is that like bad sushi?
It's just a kind of poison. Well, it's more like puffer fish.
Can I put that on my knife?
Yep.
Sweet.
You can do anything you want in this game.
Yeah, give him a sneak attack because you're a rogue.
As I was saying. So I'm gonna sneak attack this guy with the bluefin poison on my knife.
You sent poison dagger through my heart.
Attacking at his back with your poison dagger, you plunge it directly between two, you know, plates of his armor, thrusting it into the spot where his meat is.
Wow. That's not cool.
Well, I mean, that's what Christaberg does, right?
Call it my meat dagger for a reason.
He aims right for the meat.
Yeah. Dealing. Wait, what's 5 divided by 2 rounded down? Thank you. 2 damage plus sneak attack damage, which is 4, 4, and 5. What's that, you guys? 13. 15 damage.
Yeah!
Sneak attack.
He doesn't seem too bothered by the poison for whatever reason.
Oh.
But otherwise has been hurt.
Bummer. Never saw it coming. All eyes and teeth. Sorry. I'm super racist. I'm
sorry. Must be nice. Black people problems.
I know.
I mean, if I'm racist for 1 second, it's like...
It's okay. I give you permission. I'll even give you a black card. Do you want one?
What would I do with that? Would I just, like, imply for 1 minute that...
Just give it back to the arresting officer. Yeah. Just say, I don't need it. I don't need it.
I like this. I'm enjoying this. I'll put it at Maureen's turn, though.
Okay. From my position, I take two of my arrows, and I... Because I'm sitting on his head,
yeah.
I take my two arrows and I try to stab them through his ears into his brain.
Oh. Vicious.
That's a combat maneuver.
That is a combat maneuver.
Yeah. It's called the brain poke.
The brain poke.
Brain poke! I don't know how I could possibly miss.
Well, I mean, in this case, it would be because he's wearing a helmet.
No, I guess you mistook my meaning. You hit with one of your arrows in his head,
okay,
but not the other. So one of them pierces through his helmeted head and stabs him right in the ear, right? Ear?
Yeah, but inside is inside.
Yeah, and goes through the ear. Into his head parts.
Right. To his brain.
To his head meat.
Not quite, yeah. Perfect. Right into his head meat, yeah.
And maybe now he's like the cheerleader who can only run backwards. You know what I mean?
Gotta love that H1N1.
Yeah, he can't sing anymore or something.
I like that. But that doesn't happen to him.
Okay.
He just gets hit for 6 damage.
All right. Yeah. Head poke. I'll take it.
Blood flows out of his ear.
I drink it. That's what you guys were thinking, right? I smear it on my face. I write a big okay on my forehead. Oh, God.
Maureen.
Yeah.
Have more moonshine.
Earthshine,
sorry.
You're going to need to see a doctor after this.
That's Dan's turn, then.
All right.
Sharpie?
So I have this level 3 spell, and it's called Major Image.
Uh-huh.
Illusion with sound, smell, and heat.
Yeah. So that's a pretty convincing...
I think you cast that in the green room before the show.
Yeah.
You dealt my nose 14 damage. It was a critical shit.
That's our show, right? That's our show. That's the end of Harmontown. That's just his show.
That's been our show. Good night. I'm kidding. Oh. They wanted out of here.
But that's the show title for sure, right?
It was a critical shit.
It was a monster shit.
Yeah.
I want to create an illusion.
Yeah.
Of a woman... that looks 20 years older than Admiral Darkstar, but has kind of his face. In a bathrobe.
That is disturbing.
And saying, and I want to make her go, "Stop it! What are you doing? You made a mess! Go to bed! Did you make your little penis pee again? I'll bite it off with my dentures. Wow. Go back to your Dark Star bed.
Dan, I want to take this moment to thank you for reading my How to Play D&D instruction manual. I appreciate it.
So that's what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right in front of him. Yeah. Oh, God, man. Be careful.
Don't just take alcohol. That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting out of here alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I need somebody to drive me home.
We got an all Uber tonight.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the Earthshine is making its rounds again.
Guys, remember when Jeff said critical shit? That was so... That was so good.
I mean... Bask in it. That's right.
Remember when I made that guy's fictional mom yell at him for peeing afterward?
Dan, are you talking about the fictional mom that threatened to bite off her son's penis with her dentures?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of Red Dragon, a little bit of autobiography in there. I'll let you figure out which is which.
Sorry. So,
Spencer, have you rolled that?
What? No. No.
He cast Angry Mommy Memory.
Yeah, come on.
Angry Mommy Memory.
Yeah, so you
conjure... Admiral Darkstar, you knock it off!
He looks at this illusion and he's like, I don't have a mom. I mean, it's yeah. I'm not
speaking
gonna
of
give
Spencer,
you my
isn't
backstory.
He says
that out loud.
Yeah, to you.
I go, everyone has a mom.
Well,
maybe you didn't know yours.
Maybe you don't understand the cosmology of all the different planes in the multiverse.
Maybe I don't. But maybe. The one thing that all of them share is that everyone comes from a mama. And maybe when you don't know yours, you get a little angry. And you want to make the cosmology more significant than it is. It really comes down to simple realities. Right, Gertrude? And then I make her go, that's right. This little shit. Go to your room. And I go, yeah, if you didn't know her, I think that suggests...
Sharpie, maybe he'd remember better if you sang your song, Everybody Comes From a Mama.
It's a great song. It's a great song. I've heard it.
Anyway, well, just roll for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to negate that, but it'll just be bad. No,
I'll drop you a beat if you want.
Here we go.
He's going to drop a beat.
Angry Mama Memory Rap.
Everybody comes from a mama. Every mama's going to have a son. Everybody needs a friend sometimes, and everybody wants to lean on someone. So when you call me, don't expect to reply. And when you fall for me, don't expect me to ply my wares. Cause baby, I came to the bar and I couldn't find you. What you doing? Two shots and that's through? You fucking that guy again? I took you to the tennis court. I lost again. I put the ball over the net. I fucked your mama so hard she came away wet. Fucked your daddy in his ass.
Black card.
Everybody has a mama's baby. And every mama's baby has a friend. And every dark star needs an admiral in its navy. And everybody is alone in the end. Admiral Darkstar.
That's our show, everybody. Thank you for coming to Heart of Town. Let's give it up for Ian.
That was some good beatboxing.
That was very great. Good beatboxing. Thank you, Jesus, Adam Goldberg, Glenn Cook for your fantastic Earthshine. All of you for coming, everybody here at Meltdown. One more time for Spencer Crittenden, Aaron McGathy. I'm Jeff. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon.
This is empty. Somebody call us all an Uber. Nobody drive home tonight.